Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu, and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Katie Walls. So the government of national unity might have a little bit of life in it, possibly. Today, Tory rebels have come out and said that they will meet with Jeremy Corbyn to talk it through. Katie, catch us up on what's happened.
So after initially yesterday, when Jeremy Corbyn came up with this letter, there was quite an immediate slapdown, both by Jo Swinson, which we talked about on yesterday's podcast, but also there was a suggestion from Tories such as Caroline Spelman, who's anti-no deal, that they wouldn't want a national unity government headed by Jeremy Corbyn. Now, I think as the day ran on, you saw that these individuals being criticised because obviously saying, well, if you really want to stop no deal, surely you want to do it by any means possible. You've had the Lib Dems do a slight climb down. Jo Swinson now said she is open to talks with Jeremy Corbyn. And then this is where the Tories come in. So you have former Tory ministers, Dominic Grieve, Oliver Letwin, Caroline Spelman and Nick Bowles, who is now an independent, who are among those who have agreed to meet Jeremy Corbyn to discuss the different ways to stop the UK leaving the EU without a deal. Now, I don't think that means that they're necessarily backing him yet. I think we might be in the situation a bit like the Labour Tory talks when Theresa May and John McDonnell and others kept meeting to talk about potentially getting behind a Brexit deal. It didn't lead to anything, but it meant both sides could almost look as though they were trying. I think there are some who are more serious than others. So you've had Guto Bebb, who is someone who's been very critical of no deal Brexit, has actually suggested that he is open to installing Jeremy Corbyn in Downing Street. I think he's been the most frank, and he said that compared with a no deal Brexit, having Jeremy Corbyn briefly as Prime Minister would be the lesser evil. Now, you've seen Tories such as Nicky Morgan quite quickly hit back at him and say, do you really think it would be a brief period Jeremy Corbyn would be in number 10 for, suggesting that as soon as you gave him the keys, say for 2 weeks, to extend Article 50 and then have this general election, he might think, well, why am I having a general election if I'm already in number 10? Now, I don't think this necessarily has legs because the same thing is on parliamentary arithmetic.
Sure.
Would stand, you know, in terms of how long
so
you have it.
No, but confidence, that one.
Yeah, but I think it is interesting you're seeing Tories clearly trying to bat down that idea and put those lines out to try and dissuade their colleagues.
And it's completely understandable, Fraser, because Conservative associations, local members, have reacted very badly to this news. I mean, Dominic Grieve's own constituency association has said that it's incredible that any Conservative would consider putting Corbyn in government. So do you think any Conservatives actually would do that?
I find that very hard to believe. I think what they want to do now is to make the government think that they might. They want to exert pressure. And they think the best way of doing that is by making the government think, oh, well, I'd better cut a deal with the EU because if I don't, these Tories might put in Corbyn. So they've got to sound willing. But when it comes down to it, there are democratic constraints that our MPs have on their behaviour. Technically, they can do what they want. Under our system, the day you get elected, you can go off and live in Bermuda for years and just collect your salary. You could join another party. You could do anything subject to recall. But one thing you'd struggle to do if you wanted to stay in politics is stand for Parliament as a Conservative, have tens of thousands of people vote for you as a Conservative, and then vote down a Conservative government to put in a Labour government, one that the people who voted for you presumably don't want. Now, you might only do this if you are, like Dominic Grieve, not planning a future in politics. I very much doubt he will stand at the next election. I very much doubt he would win in his constituency, given his approach. It's not so much that he is guilty of thought crime, is that he said he would implement Brexit to his electors before they took him last time, then he changed his mind.
What do you think of the fate of Sarah Wollaston, who's obviously this week gone to the Lib Dems?
Well, it's interesting. People like Sarah Wollaston, in my view, she ought to have stood for election again in the same way that Douglas Carswell did when he defected to UKIP. I think it's the morally responsible thing to do. If you leave a party after you're sent to Parliament to represent the party, then you ask your constituents for a new mandate. I think when we sit here and do the maths, you think, okay, technically, it would only take three or four Tories to vote with the opposition to bring down the government and do a no deal. Fair enough. But you have to factor in that. What about, for example, Kate Hoey and Frank Field? You know, people who are Labour MPs, well, not Frank Field, he's independent now, but who would certainly not vote for no deal Brexit. And then you've got the Anna Soubrys and the Sarah Wollastons, people who know that a general election will be the end for them because they were both sent to Parliament as Conservatives. They're right now on the run from their electorate. They're hiding from them. So I doubt whether people who have left their party, like that lot, will be in that much of a rush for a general election. But then again, at the back of their mind, they'll be thinking, OK, if there isn't an election and there is no deal, then Boris will probably have a general election in April. So ultimately, you can run from the electorate, but you can't hide. There will be a general election sooner or later. But overall, the more we hear about these devices to stop Boris Johnson, to stop a no-deal Brexit, the less plausible they sound. And the more it seems to underline to me, anyway, the lack of options, the lack of a coherent plan. We're hearing panic, disorganisation. And I think Caroline Lucas's plan for an all-female cabinet, for example, that was, sure, it was a bit of a laugh and it caused a controversy, but it's not that crazy, that much more crazy than the other plans that we've heard. So I think all of this underlines the lack of options that the rebels have and how I don't think their attempts to be taken seriously by the government will succeed.
I mean, it ultimately does feel as though, yes, John Bercow suggested he will do what he can, and if...
With every bone in his body, he said.
And if a majority of MPs can get hold of the order paper and do something similar to what Yvette Cooper did, then you can see how it could make things tricky for Boris Johnson. But we still keep getting back to the confidence vote issue, and I think that's because it is the clearest way to try and stop this government. Yes, you could still have Brexit or no-deal Brexit occur in the election campaign, but it would definitely bring things to a head, so to speak. I mean, Number 10 would like the election to be in Easter. They know ultimately it's not tenable how long this government can go on with a working majority of one. So I think there is a sense there will be one within the year, but they would want it in Easter, not before Brexit, not in autumn if they could avoid it. I think if you look at the confidence vote and the numbers, I spoke to one Conservative MP yesterday about this, and they were actually sounding fairly bullish that they thought there weren't currently the numbers to bring down the government. Now, I think that I've spoken to other people involved in the Conservative Party who actually think the opposite, that there are the numbers. But
so
have
Katie,
to think,
is that because of Labour rebels? Because we've been talking about how they've got a majority of one, so surely that only takes one person to switch sides in order for them to lose, or is it more complicated than that?
So Conservative MP I spoke to thinks that you need about 6 Tory MPs to want to vote down the government, and that's because you need to take into account, for example, what would Kate Hoey do? Mm-hmm. Would Sylvia Herman, would she vote down the government if she thought it would lead to Jeremy Corbyn?
But on that maths, Katie, if 6 Tory rebels, how many Labour rebels does that imagine?
Well, you're challenging my mathematics here. but I think that they think there are a handful. So it might be a couple in Labour. So for example, what would the names that I've had said to me is Kate Hoey, actually, she might, there are some who think she'd actually vote with the government, not just abstain. Frank Field, mm-hmm. Eurosceptic, said he wants to stand as an independent in the mm-hmm. next election. They don't think that he would help this effort. Sylvia Herman, what would she do? And then there's questions over, for example, some of the other independents. I think it's trickier if you are an independent, well, Sarah Wilson is now a Lib Dem, but if you think of certain people who have basically left the Conservative Party, Anna Soubry and co, because they don't like Brexit, I think even though it is risky for their seat to go to an autumn election, it's also just risky for their message if they said, oh, actually, we're going to risk a no-deal Brexit, which is why I quit the party, just to kind of put off this election in a few months' time. Mm-hmm. But there's also questions over, for example, John Woodcock. What would mm-hmm. that independent MP do? So I think that the numbers are really down to the wire there, and they think you need about 5 or 6 Tory MPs, and at the moment I think you probably have 3.
Mm. This is where I think the maths falls into difficulty, not simply because there are 3 and you need 6, but we know that Kate Hoey and Frank Field would not go along with this because they've told us openly. There are a lot of Labour MPs who would prefer a no-deal Brexit to Jeremy Corbyn in power. I mean, just the same as there are lots of Tories who prefer Corbyn to a no-deal Brexit, the converse is true for a lot of Labour MPs who really genuinely hate Jeremy Corbyn and think he would be a massive threat to the country. It doesn't make sense for those Labour MPs to identify themselves now. for the same reason that it doesn't make sense for Tories to say they would vote down a Tory government. Because when you do go to stand for re-election, you don't want to be the guy who publicly declared that he would not join a vote of no confidence because he didn't want a Labour government. But there are quite a number of Labour MPs who do not want a Labour government under Jeremy Corbyn. Now, and they will not say anything, they'll keep quiet, but there will be a number of them. So if you're struggling to get even to the six, that assumes that lots of compliance from Labour MPs, then an actual number, I think, it begins to look undoable. So far, we've had Dominic Grieve say that he would be prepared to vote down the Conservative government. Mm. I can't think of any other Tory MP who's gone that far.
You've had Ken Clark has said he would be prepared to do it in the event of a no to the Brexit. And I think Guta Beb, I think, is also someone who look at his comments today on Jeremy Corbyn. So that's where I think you probably get to three. But I think beyond that...
And then there's also Philip Lee, who's been, you know, dangling, saying that he might join the Lib Dems over the summer.
Yeah, so it could grow slightly, but I think at the moment you're around... You speak to Conservative MPs, they think there are about three potential Tory MPs.
Fraser, we've been talking about this with respect to a government that Corbyn would lead, but Jo Swinson this week has also floated the idea of Ken Clark himself leading a government of national unity, or Harriet Harman being the mother of the House. Do you think either of those candidates are worth talking about?
I don't know, you can see the logic there, because you'd want, as the supposed caretaker Prime Minister, somebody who doesn't want the job permanently. And Jo Swinson even indicates that Ken Clark is entertaining this idea. Well, he stood to be Tory leader before, so I imagine he wouldn't mind being Prime Minister. Who would? But really, it is just so... I find it so far-fetched, the idea of a so-called government of national unity. That would be actually a government to subvert the national majority behind Brexit. It doesn't... I think regardless of your views on Brexit, the kind of anti-democratic nature of this would be too much.
Well, I suppose they would spin it as not as an as a Remain government, but as an anti-no deal government.
Yeah,
and a lot of Brexiteers are anti-no deal as well.
But I think it's now fairly established that no deal has become code for Brexit. It's an anti-Brexit government, because there isn't... This Parliament would not vote through a deal the EU is offering. In that situation, any Brexit becomes a no-deal Brexit. Now, you know, I talk as somebody who is I'm still a reluctant Brexiteer. I used to be a Remainer. I don't see this from any ideological point of view, but I do understand the point of view of Remainers who think, look, we lost the referendum result, and for the sake of the faith in our democracy, we need to implement this result, and we can't wait too long before implementing it. You do end up in very deep waters, because, believe me, there will be nothing... absolutely nothing unifying about a supposed government of national unity. It will set the two sides of the country at each other's throats. And I don't think that will lead to any kind of resolution. And I think the MPs are still indulging in fantasy if they think that national unity can be achieved in the form of an anti-Brexit coalition of MPs from a parliament whose members never agreed with the referendum result in the first place.
Fraser and Katie, thanks very much. You can subscribe, rate and review us through all the usual routes. And Fraser's got an offer for you guys. Fraser?
Yep, we're having a number of debates and discussions in London for our subscribers and podcast listeners. The first one is How to Be a Dictator. We've got Frank Decotter, who's written a brilliant book about this. It was looked at by David Aronovich in his Very Good Times column yesterday. He's going to be talking to Sam Leaf on Tuesday the 3rd of September. We do have about 20 tickets left to this, so subscribers can do this on spectator.co.uk/events. We've also got a live discussion, Can Boris Do It? That's going to be on Tuesday the 17th of September. And then finally, Douglas Murray and Lionel Shriver, they're talking about identity politics
on the 28th of October. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.